Can we too become saints? Hi, I'm Mike Mason. This is St. Joe Society Podcast. St. Joe Society is a Catholic lay apostolate devoted to help men order all things to Christ as they grow strong in mind, body, and spirit. If you'd like to check out more about us, you can see us online at stjosesociety.org. This is the St. Joseph Boot Camp, episode 36. And holy cow, guys, after 9 full months, we have finally reached the end of the boot camp. First, I want to say congratulations to all of you making this far along. We've got a lot of reports back from touching base with all the priests that have been leading our boot camp this year, and they've been really encouraged by the progress you guys have made to this point. The way the boot camp's designed, as you guys know, is you take on a challenge each month, and at the end of that month, you try to keep that challenge going. And guys, whether you've fulfilled those challenges 100% of the time, or 95%, or 90, or 80, or even 70, I imagine if you were faithful to putting effort into doing them, you are much further along in your spiritual life now than you were in August when we started. And so I just want to congratulate you guys. I'm very thankful to our Lord for doing such a great work in each one of you and the work he's done in my life over the last few months. It's been really, really great. But like I've said on previous podcasts, guys, this isn't the end. It's just the beginning. Okay. We are partnering with your priest to help him raise disciples of the men in his parish, equip you guys to become the men God wanted you to be, so you can be those holy Christ-like leaders in your family, in your community, in your parish. Here at the St. Joe Society, we don't pretend to think that we're the solution to anything. Guys, the parish priest is there. God's appointed him to lead the men of his parish. All we do is come alongside your priest to take a little bit of that load off so that he can do the job called him to do. And so I want you to challenge you guys to stick with your group, stick with the brotherhood of guys that you have in there. And as we keep progressing from month to month, all of us start to progress through those three ways of the interior life together. So stick with it, guys. We got a lot of great stuff planned for you. Well, in this final month, we're talking about the three ways in the interior life, which is really the substance of what this podcast is going to be about and what the St. Joe Society is about. As I said at the beginning, the St. Joe Society is devoted to help men order all things to Christ, to help you figure out ways, practical ways to take everything you do and make sure all of it is honoring to God and getting you closer to him. We also do this by growing strong in mind, body, and spirit. We are not just souls. We're not just minds. We're not just bodies, but God wants to save every aspect of us. And so we need to learn practical ways on how to do just that. And so we really focus on disciplines of body, of mind, and spirit that you guys have been practicing over the last 9 months in order to order all things to our Lord. Now, in this three ways in the interior life, we've talked about the fact there's a beginning phase, which is like childhood. There's a middle phase, the illuminative way, which is like spiritual adolescence. And then there's the unitive way, which is like spiritual adulthood. A lot of spiritual writers talk about the biological aspects of this. One thing when I teach this to high school students and give lectures on these three ways, one thing I also touch on is the three ways in interior life are kind of like a romantic relationship with your wife, if you guys are married. If you think about it, when you first, fall in love, you get that like puppy love infatuation phase. What's that phase like? You think about her a lot. When you want to express love to your wife in the infatuation beginning phase, you use a lot of words. Men will write things and say things and talk. There's strong feelings associated with it. Well, this is very similar to the purgative way, right? We think about God a lot. We have God's giving us sensible consolation, so we feel his presence more often. And our prayer life is very wordy. Okay, we use lots of words and talk a lot. The illuminative phase is when you kind of wean off of those and you start having these moral and spiritual convictions get rooted in your soul. Well, this is similar to what happens, say, when a man gets married. So a study has been done where the infatuation phase of a relationship is 12 to 18 months. Now, a person who's in love with puppy love will break up with their girlfriend at that point and go find someone else to have puppy love with. But at that phase where a man, like maybe the feelings, they're not going away, but they're developing and changing. What happens at that, engagement phase or that early marriage phase is the strong feelings might be being set aside a little bit. But what's happening is your devotion to your wife is settling into your will. This is when you're choosing to be like what Paul says in Ephesians 5, right? I'm going to love Christ like Christ loved the church. Or I'm going to lay my life down for her. You start looking at this woman not in puppy love sort of ways, but with a deep-seated conviction to want her to become the woman that God wants her to be. This is very similar to the illuminative way, where we get this deep-seated conviction to become like Christ, and we want to become godly Christ-like men, just like in the married life, you want to become a godly Christ-like husband, devoted husband. In the unitive way, we can look at it like the full maturation of the love relationship that a man has for a woman. You see this with people who have been very devoted to one another for long periods of time. You'll notice that the couples, maybe the feelings aren't as strong. They're there, but it's not a feelings-focused relationship. It's not even a will-focused relationship. It's like the two wills of the husband and wife have become one. Okay. It's almost like they're one person. This is what would be an analogous to the unitive way in the spiritual life. Okay. So if you think of it kind of like a metaphor of with marriage, kind of helps you understand that those three phases a little bit better. Now, in the unitive way, which we're going to talk about in today's episode, what happens at this phase is you're not just conforming your will to Christ, which was the illuminative way, you're being united to him perfectly as you can in this life. Okay. St. Paul talks about the unitive way in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Listen to this. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Okay, notice that Paul's almost, he's almost disappeared, and his life is Christ's life. This is the unitive way. What we're gonna touch on in this podcast, what's the nature and purpose of the unitive way? Kind of give a little fuller understanding of it to you. What are the characteristics of this stage of spiritual life? And what are the three conditions? Okay. And in the future podcasts, like I said, all three of these last podcasts have been 30,000 foot overviews. In the future, we're going to unpack all of these themes in greater detail. Okay. This is just kind of give you a sense of what each of the three ways are. But let's start with the nature and end of the unitive way. The goal of the unitive way is none other than an habitual, intimate union with God through Jesus Christ. Now notice this union is intimate, which means our will and his will are intimately tied to one another. And then it's habitual because it doesn't go away. It doesn't suffer the ups and downs of that early purgative time is. It doesn't have those moments of trial where you might slink back a little bit in the illuminative way. This is habitual and it's intimate and you know Christ perfectly. Okay. Adolf Tankery says it this way: to live altogether unto God, the living God, the most blessed Trinity dwelling in us, to praise God, to serve him, revere him, and love him. This is the aim of the perfect Christian. That is what the unitive way is. Okay, it's a habitual, loving, intimate union with our Lord. Now, Tankery goes on later in his text, and he says there's four basic characteristics of the unitive way. Okay, we're going to touch on these each briefly. First characteristic, the soul lives continuously in the presence of God. Okay, when you're in the unitive way, what's going to happen is God, you're going to see God's presence in all things. Now, gentlemen, God is with us all the time, no matter what. But a person who's climbed to this level has a continual, they live in the continual presence of God. So it's not like when you're a young Christian, God's there, but you don't constantly think about him or not have an awareness of him. At this level, you're completely aware of his presence. That's the first characteristic. Second, the love of God becomes not only the principal virtue of the soul. So loving God isn't like, you know, this is just the most important virtue of the soul, but it becomes its only virtue. Okay, when Jesus said there's only two commandments, and the greatest of these is to love God, the love of the Lord your God with your whole heart, mind, and spirit. Guys, this is the unitive way. Because you're adorned with love of God, all the other virtues which fall under it are completed in it. Once you have charity, everything else is fulfilled. And that's what's a hallmark of this phase, is that you love, you have so much love for God that it's, people could basically say this is the virtue of a person's life. Third characteristic, this might sound odd to you guys, prayer becomes increasingly simple. A lot of people would assume that your prayer life will become more wordy the higher you go in the spiritual life. That's not true. It actually becomes far more simple. Reasoning almost disappears here because the soul basically has a loving, simple, lingering thought of God all the time. Guys, think of go back to my married couple analogy. When you start loving your wife that much, words almost can't gather it. Okay. For some of you guys listening, who've, you know, been married a long time, in some sense, you can't express anymore how much you love your spouse because words cannot express it. You might also notice that when you love your wife that much and you guys are that tightly united, she's with you constantly in your thoughts, if not at the forefront of the mind, in the back. This is what it's like with God at this phase. You are always, he's always present to you in your mind and heart. The fourth characteristic is a simplification of the whole life. The whole life becomes a perpetual prayer. So notice this, guys, when you get to the heights of the spiritual life, what's going to happen is life becomes very simple. Your mind and affection and heart are on one thing, and that's God and God alone and how much you love him. Everything else you do is animated by this. So it doesn't cheapen everything else as if everything else becomes unimportant. It's unimportant in light of loving him, but everything else in your life is animated and directed towards this moment. Everything. Okay. This is a person that is perfectly united to our Lord. Now, when a person reads this phase, there's three conditions of a man who does this. Okay. So what do we need to bring to this? Okay. First, a great purity of heart. Okay, to have this sort of unity, you have to have a great purity of heart, which means you are detached not only from mortal sin, that was gone in the purgative way. You're completely detached from deliberate venial sins. So a person at this phase, man, does not want to sin in any way. They have a horror to sin. They want to get rid of anything that could lead to sin. And they're even watchful that they're not willfully resistant to any grace God gives them. Okay, so their heart is very pure at this point. Second, they have a great mastery over themselves. Okay. This is a person who's adorned with virtue. Gentlemen, I've talked in previous podcasts. Virtue means strength. The strongest man is the one on the unitive way. Jesus Christ is the strongest man that ever lived. The Blessed Virgin Mary is the strongest woman that ever lived. Why? Because they have complete mastery over themselves. They're adorned with all the virtues. Saint Joseph, our patron. Okay. What a humble, strong man. Virtue is strength. A person in unity is fully strong. He's a man fully alive because our true life is found in our Lord. The third thing is a constant need of thinking of God. Now, I'm not claiming I'm the unitive way at all. In fact, the unitive way, I'm very confident I'm not on it. However, I have had experiences I think a lot of you guys could relate with, that there's times when you pray, when God is just like in your mind and in your heart, and you have to almost stop talking and just basically all your affections and all your thoughts are in him. And a lot of times these moments can be very short. This is a glimpse into what the unitive way is like. Okay. When you're in the unitive way, everything you do has this lingering thought of God, your affections, your will, everything's ordered towards him. Okay. He's with you constantly. Guys, whether we're on the purgative way or the illuminative, wherever we are in this phase, and all of us are at different spots, God will start giving us glimpses into this. When that happens, we'll talk about this more in the future, you have to rest in that gift. Because God's making his presence known to you, which helps motivate us to unite ourselves more dearly with him. The unitive way is just the culmination of this, where it's constant. Okay? So those are the nature of the unitive way, some characteristics of it, and conditions to follow it. Guys, God wants to do this to all of us. He wants every single one of us to ascend this way and be part of the unitive way. And he gives us the pathway to do it. Okay. At this level, what God's going to give us is what are called the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Each gift is united to one of the virtues in the illuminative way. So these gifts are going to make us receptive to the grace God wants to give us so that we can live a truly holy life. Our prayer life, the simple prayer life, we're going to discover this more in the future and future podcasts on how to make that happen. And then we're also going to talk about some of the extraordinary mystical stuff that comes with it. Okay. Which will be a fun discussion too. My students always really like that. But what I want to challenge you guys with as we wrap this week up, gentlemen, we're just getting started. Okay. You guys have done great work up to this point, but let's keep going. We are going to keep ascending this ladder of holiness together. God is more than willing to raise up a generation of men who are after his own heart. And there's no reason why we can't be those men. So keep praying that memorandum to St. Joseph. At this month's meeting, you guys are going to talk about the rule of life and how to incorporate it. And the next month, we're launching in and really starting to take off. I hope you guys have a blessed week. I'll talk to you soon.